Hey, cool listener of a Non-Cool People podcast. I'm your host, Kat. On today's episode, I'll introduce you to a yoga teacher, Anna Billerte. When I approached her for this episode, she agreed immediately. And after a while, I received a voice message from her. Yekaterina, but who are you? This question made me think, what should I tell her? Well, this episode, we start with Anna telling us who is she, not what she's doing, but who is she in her being? And the whole episode was this free flow of unprepared questions and discovery of this beautiful soul, full of such an energy that, in a good way, I envy a bit. And as for my introduction, well, you can check it out on Non-Cool People podcast Instagram account. But now, let's get to know Anna.
This morning when I was doing yoga, I was thinking who I am. It's not what I'm doing for a living, how I'm getting money to survive, to buy clothes, to buy food, but who I am inside. And all the time, all last years, almost 10 years, in my mind is all the time, breathe. So I understand I'm just a breath of all this what is around. You are here, but you are everywhere. My favorite mantra is Om Suham, what means I'm the universe. Universe is inside me. And I see in that very deep thought that you are this breath. And it's not about body, it's not about mind, it's just a breath to do some kind of function here. What is this function, what we need to do? It's still the question, but this is me, I'm a breath. This is how I see who I am here.
You see yourself as a part of something bigger.
Definitely. And I believe that everybody of us, we are a small piece of everything, and everything can't be without this small part who we are.
Yeah, if we don't breathe, we are not, right?
Exactly. We're not physical then, if we're not breathing, but we are.
I was doing this breathing exercise yesterday, and the trainer said, you live as you breathe. And it was such an interesting sentence to me, that you live as you breathe. What does it even mean? So what do you think about we live as we breathe?
Breathe in is a life. Breath out is a death. So you all the time mix it. You live, you die. You live, you die. This is how I see it. And this is how you live. Everything that's happening, all things what we are doing, it is something new is coming, something is going away. The future is coming, the past is going. Even this sentence, what I said, it's already the past. But 30 seconds before, it was the future. Yeah.
How did you come to this kind of lifestyle?
I'm very happy about my life. It's always surprised. It's always so much things is happening. And this is how I want to live, that I want to explore everything, to enjoy everything, to see everything. I want to just to be. And I had this time in my life when I had very good job. I had very good salary. I had everything what I wanted. And I didn't feel this happiness inside. And I decided I'm leaving everything and I'm going somewhere. So I went to England. I stayed there for 4 years together. And in this time, I start to appreciate these things what I had before, this everything, this good life.
Material. Yes,
exactly. And there I start to learn about myself. And in this time of my life, I found this yoga, and I realized this is something what helped me to stay in peace, in happiness. And yoga is not just a peace, it's even the energy, it's the joy of the life. It's a smile, so I went to India. I done yoga teacher course. I came back. I was working again, working, and then I started to travel a lot. And this was really this time when you see how much things is on the world, how much things you can do, how much you can see, and then more you see, then more you think about these things. So I would say in my age at the moment, I saw a lot and I will see more. And this reason that I'm so open-minded, I try to be, I'm still learning how to open it more. This is the reason how I just start to be spiritual, but not by the religion, but by my own way, how I'm thinking, how I see the life, how I want to live, what I want to leave for my children.
You've said when you moved to England, you learned something about yourself. And my question is, what is one of the most valuable lessons that you've learned about?
That happiness is inside you. Happiness is not things around us. Happiness is not people around us. It's just yourself inside. This is the happiness. And this is what you need to like stretch and hold every day and to make this muscle bigger.
So how do you do that? What is happiness and how do you stretch that muscle?
Look outside. Look outside to the window. I have a window there. And all the time when I'm looking outside, I see this beautiful blue sky. I feel that sun is even touching my skin. I feel everything more deeper. It's not just, oh yeah, I have good clothes. This is the life. This is not life. For me, life is something what I see this beauty around. And I'm thinking how the nature is working. This is something beautiful. The nature is the most beautiful thing what could happen. And this is how I'm stretching myself, just to see these small things around you, these smallest things. And every time try to make smaller and smaller and smaller thing what you see as a something amazing. This is how I'm doing that.
I can even feel it in your energy because it's like spreading.
Exploding.
Exploding. Yeah, it's exploding. And
thank you.
I think it's very rare to meet this nowadays, or at least my experience. We are more like not even seeking, but on such automatic mode, on autopilot of seeing what doesn't work, what is bad, what is not working, that we forget to wake up in the morning and say, instead of, oh gosh, again, I've had such a bad night because of this and this, or I have to go to work, or whatever thoughts. And I don't say that everybody thinks this way, but I have to remind myself every single morning, especially after those nights when my daughter doesn't sleep for 2 hours in the middle of the night because she just decides to play or something. And then I have to remind myself that, but it's great that she's healthy and playful and so on and so on. And I really have to turn that brain and see that.
And be thankful. Be thankful. That's what I'm doing every evening, is I'm saying thank you for these, like even to my boyfriend, thank you that you are with me. Thank you, my parents, that you are with me.
I agree with you. And this is sometimes the hardest part, to see gratitude part in the smallest
things,
because we wait for as you said, happiness is inside you, and somehow sometimes we expect happiness to come from outside. And these are the moments where we just expect, live on expectation, and then most of the time this expectation fails on us. And how to learn this happiness from inside? You've said that, yes, we see small things, be grateful for small things. But if there is one thing that somebody now is listening and is feeling like, everything about happiness, just don't tell me anymore. But what would be the one seed we can put in their head? Maybe they are not yet even aware that they will take it, but plant that seed so it can help them to see things differently.
Maybe look to the mirror. Last meditation, what I gave to my yoga students, in meditation, I was asking them to see themselves in a mirror. And when you look to the mirror, it's always, oh, I'm not good. No, my nose is too big. I need a different everything. But start with this, that you just can look to yourself and tell every day, I love you. I love myself. I appreciate you. I appreciate myself. And just speak like this. This is even one of the things that I done when I had this time when I was like down and you are like, no, everything is so bad. But I was doing that. I was looking to myself in the mirror and I said, I love you. You are good. I'm good. And talking like this. And the first time I was crying, I was looking to myself and I was so much like crying. Next day was better. There was just tears in my eyes without crying. Third day was, I was just looking to myself. And then slowly I start to smile and then I just push up my energy. And now it's totally normal. Every time when I go to the mirror, oh, you are good. Oh, you look so good, girl. And I think this is how everybody can start. Start with yourself. Start just to looking to yourself. Don't look to no one else. Don't look to this Instagram pictures. Okay, I have Instagram pictures. But don't look how skinny girl is or how fat is she, how guy is looking like, oh yeah, this guy is better than me. Oh, this girl is more sexy than I am, or all these things. Like, no, just start with yourself. Find these good things in yourself. Yeah, it is hard. Yes, it's from our childhood that everything should be perfect, that you need to learn that how you are looking, you need to be better and better, you're not better than you need to be. And it's all the time like pushing, and it comes from this childhood. But now is the time when you are the owner of yourself, of your mind, of your soul, of your life. You can make this decision. You can change the rules because you are the only one who is making them, who is changing them, who is living by these rules.
I really like the part of allowing ourselves to make the decision. I remember myself that sometimes it's like somebody has to tell, but you can make this decision for yourself. And I'm like, but it's true. It's true. It's such a refreshing reminder. Then I still have to remind myself oftentimes that I can make this decision. I can make this decision. I don't owe anything to anyone. And it's really a process, but it's so like mountain falls from my shoulders when I realize that everything is in my hands and I don't have to expect anything from anyone. In fact, I can tell them, go your direction, not to say anything rude, yeah?
I was waiting this rude part.
Mind your own business. It can be very hard. It doesn't have to be very hard for everybody, but it can be difficult exercise, but it's very relieving exercise with time. I really agree with you, and thank you for this reminder of that.
You can make your podcast the most famous podcast in the whole world. Remember that.
It's hard to believe. And coming back to your yoga experience, so you now have clients, you have students. What kind of experiences you see in their eyes?
This year, I would say some 90% of girls, most of girls is coming to my yoga class, is coming who never done yoga before. And when they are coming, their first sentence is, I can't do anything. And sometimes when they are doing some yoga position, but it's a little bit harder, then they are saying, oh, I'm teasels. How to say in English, teasels.
Is there any even word in English for this, but like, not stupid. There are some words in Latvian that I think we don't have.
Yeah, but this is one of the strongest words, but in Latvian, I would say. The second is that girls are saying they can't do something, and then they are saying, oh, like my body is stupid, or I can't hold this position or something. And I see that deep inside them have this, they don't believe to themselves. They think they are ugly. Their body is stupid. And it's very sad because these are beautiful women, but they don't see themselves like that. And by yoga, with meditations, with these postures, I'm trying to put up this energy of the woman, of this sexuality, of this belief to yourself. And sometimes in meditations, I'm saying, okay, girls, now very loud, let's start to say, I'm good, I'm sexy, I know how to do that, and so on. Because this is the way how I see how to fix it. And I see the yoga is helping, like, with the body. For example, most of the people have this sitting job and the backs is, like, going in very bad condition and the shoulders is on front and the view is not good and the feeling is not good. So I'm trying to fix somehow, like, slowly. And then I see girls are coming and they are, like, oh, nicely standing and smiling. And yes, so what we are doing today, they are ready. Yeah, so this is the thing what I see in Latvia. When I was doing yoga in England, somehow I didn't feel it so much like in Latvia. Their women, for them, was they don't care. They was going and doing. It didn't stay in my mind what could be in England, this like with some kind of what problem they are coming or what they try to fix. But in Latvia, definitely. Most of the, and even guys is most of the time coming to individual classes, but it's still, oh, no, I can't do this. No, it's not possible. And then, like, bam, they are holding position. And I'm like, I thought it's different. Yeah. And yoga positions, it's not just, oh, yeah, I'm holding some kind of position, hands up, like bend your knee or something. It's work with your mind. Because if you're not working with your mind, you even can't move your body. And, of course, the breath.
I really like what you said. I think it's overall with exercise, it's our mind. It's kind of trying to find an excuse for already future that I cannot do something. And I'm excusing myself.
Yes.
I used to be, and I hope I will continue, pole dance fitness instructor, and it's a sport that requires a lot of power, but you don't have to come, like, very powerful to this sport. And I see very much similarities from what you said. Girls, or even boys, are coming, and they're saying, I'm too weak for this, I don't know if I can do that. And, you know, it's some kind of a perception that you start something new and now you have to do all the positions that the professional who is doing that for 5, 10, 15 years is doing. We forget that I'm a beginner. And I allow myself to be a beginner. I allow myself to fail, because when they see all those people who are already doing something, they feel like I must do it already now the same. If not, they will look at me like thistles, yeah, as a loser or something.
Yeah. I think in every sport, you could find some of these things what helps you to feel better in yourself.
For sure. You were saying before that you would like to leave something for your kids in terms of like how you work on yourself. So what is this one thing that you would like to leave as a legacy for your kids?
Clean nature, like nature where they can live. Where is the forest? Oh my God, in Latvia we have so beautiful forest. And the sea where you can swim, where is the fish, and the trust to people. Because I think sometimes we are hiding something. We are not telling, oh, better don't tell him. Better let's stay it as a secret. Let's not show to him something. And let's better hold some things just to us. Let's not give to no one else. The trust of people, and be honest. Always be honest. Because this is the thing what people sometimes forget. They forget to be honest by themselves, and in the same time, to be honest with their partner, with their kids, with their parents, with colleagues. Sometimes we are lying too much. We are lying even that it's good that there is these days when you don't feel good, when you just want to watch some movie, eat some cake, and go for a walk. It's totally normal. But don't lie, even for your partner, that, oh no, I'm good. Don't speak with me. I'm good. No, just say, you know, today I don't have this feeling that I want to run somewhere or go somewhere with kids or something. I just want to stay by myself, and it's okay. Yeah, this is the thing what I would like to give to my kids, just to learn to speak with people, to speak about that how you feel, and to live in a beautiful place.
And if you look back at your yoga journey, you've been to India, you've learned there. Is there one person who was the most influential in this journey? Let's say mentor or a teacher.
Yes, definitely yes. I was traveling there. I spent there 2 months. First month, I was just staying in school, learning every day. And second, I was traveling around. And there was this accident when in Sri Lanka, I was walking by myself. It was late. It was dark on the street. And there was a guy who wanted to rape me. And after that time, I was very scared. Every day what I spent in Sri Lanka and then later in India, I was very nervous just by walking on the street, even if it's daytime. I remember I had a flight to Allahabad city, and I should go by bus to the city center. And I didn't book the hotel because I was thinking, okay, I will get to the city center. And of course, it's like all Riga, everybody will wait me. But it wasn't like that. I spent some, I think, hour or maybe even two just by bus to driving to the center. And I was like shocked. Like, so where is the city center? We are just driving and driving. There's so many buildings and so many people around, and I'm not getting to this center. So I ask in the bus, so when we will be in the center, and bus driver didn't speak English. But there was one guy who looked like military guy, but like in a bad way, like he would do something bad. He would have a bomb in his bag or something like this. And he was the only one who spoke in English, and he helped me. It took 3 hours to find a hotel because I was white and no one wants to take this responsibility for white people in their hotel. And I'm a woman, so it's more. And it wasn't like just these 3 hours what he spent with me. It was even that he was going to ashram. He wanted to stay there for 1 month just to do meditation. And he was very spiritual. He was a very nice guy. And it wasn't like the way how he looked. His soul was totally different. And so I spent with him next 2 weeks and he helped me with everything. Even the weirdest thing, he even didn't ask me a money. And the last day what I spent in this Allahabad place, I got a message that my train is canceled to Delhi. And there is no another train, there is no another bus. There is no way how I can get to Delhi. To Delhi, to drive there, it was 12 hours from the city. I start to cry and I understand I'm not getting away. I was waiting this moment of when I will get back to Europe because I missed home. It was a little bit too much for me. And he said, okay, no worries. I will take you there. Just go to sleep and please just relax, okay? In next day morning, I wake up. He took me in his car and he drove me to the Delhi. It took for us, I think, 20 hours to get to Delhi.
Wow.
And he didn't ask anything of me. We are still in touch. We are still calling very often to each other, asking how it's going. And I see like I got a friend for life because it was like angel just came and helping with everything. And I could start to feel safe again because this fear, what you can get of thinking that someone can rape you, it's something what I would never would like to give to someone. I remember that moment when I get back to my hotel after this all, I couldn't speak for some 10 minutes. And I was lucky that there was a doctor in this hotel. And he saw that something is not good with me. So he came to my room and I couldn't move. I was just just looking to one place and shaking. And he came to me. He was looking. And then he asked, did they get you? And I was like, no. And he said, okay. And then he was teaching me how to breathe, how to start to move again, because I couldn't. And so I would say in India, you need to be sure that you are in safe place. But I was very lucky that I got a lot of angels who really helped me and who saved me. And definitely in India, I got very good friends. And if someone is saying that woman and man can be friends, so it's a lie.
Oh, it's a very powerful experience. And thank you for sharing it. It's very personal, very strong. It's kind of, we always feel like, it never kind of touches me. We only hear about these kind of stories or experiences. Did this impact somehow your any further experiences in, like when you walked in India? I understand that you were scared and so on, but when you are back home, did it impact?
Yeah, I'm not feeling comfortable to walk alone. It doesn't matter where. Okay, in the daytime it's okay, but still I got this fear back even in the daytime. If you are in some place where there's no people, then I had this back that I don't feel safe and that I could start shake a little bit, like this fear is coming.
How do you deal with this fear? Do you do something with that?
Breathing, and I'm saying to myself, I'm safe, I'm safe, I'm safe. Just a couple of minutes I will be back home, or a couple of minutes I will meet someone who I know or something like this. And when I'm talking with myself, then I'm saying everything in a positive way. Not I'm not afraid, but I'm safe, I'm safe, I'm safe, I'm okay.
Yeah, it's also very important for our brain to hear positive affirmations.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing this. I didn't expect this conversation to turn this way.
Yeah, me too. It's not something what I would be like uncomfortable to speak, because I know that I'm lucky because nothing happened with me.
Changing the focus a little bit, how would you describe who is a cool person?
Cool person. Cool person is that who can speak with everybody, who don't care how much you own the money, who don't care who are your status, who don't care what you are doing for a living, and who don't care what is your religion. I hope I'm cool. I know you are cool. You need to be cool because you need to speak with everybody.
I don't need to. I choose to.
You choose to.
I can choose to. Yeah, thank you. I think you're very cool.
Thank you.
Last word from you to a listener, if you need to leave a message to someone.
Remember, everything what you are doing is a seed. Every this thing, what is happening, what you are doing, is growing as a tree. And by the time comes the fruit. That's it.
Thank you. We'll leave each of the listener to choose what tree, what fruits. What seat?
Everybody can choose.
I wish you only good and tasty fruits coming from the seed and the many trees you're growing in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind, cool listener. Please share this episode with a friend who might need to hear this right now. And I see you next episode.